Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Time to talk some college football. Before we mention and get into college football, though, I just got a note. I just saw this about 5 minutes ago. Odell Beckham Jr., saying something to the Wall Street Journal about this season. You don't want to miss that. We'll talk about it coming up at 1:20. But plenty to talk about in the world of college football. To do that, we bring in Brett McMurphy, who covers college football, has for a while now, for the Stadium Network. He joins us, as all our guests do, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brett, how you doing this afternoon?
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. And Brett, let's go back to Friday, because I was on the air Friday afternoon in 4 o'clock hour Eastern when the Pac-12 released their schedule. And, you know, a lot of it was, you know, a lot of the good games were going to be kind of right out of the gate. So there was a lot of anticipation, good stuff. And then the weekend comes and we get these demands, basically, from the Pac-12 and their players. Had you been hearing rumblings about this, or did this kind of come out of the blue for you and others who are covering the scene?
Well, I think over the past few years, you've heard rumblings of these type of situations or possibilities, but it never really comes to fruition. And this one, you know, finally did. So I can't say I specifically knew that this was going to happen, but you know, certainly they have a lot of legitimate claims or demands, I guess, if you will. I think some of them are unrealistic. Even if I was representing them and I was 100%, you know, behind them, saying, okay, let's do this. You know, asking for 50% of a conference's revenue to be split equally among the student athletes, sorry, that ain't going to happen. There's no way that'll happen. I don't care if it's the Pac-12, the Sun Belt, the Big Ten, or the SEC, or the NFL. That is not going to happen. And to do that, you know, literally a month before the season starts, if they're going to stick by their word, well, there's no way they're going to get that, so they're not going to be playing. You know, the question is how many of these student-athletes are on board with this. They have, you know, indicated a few players that are part of this, you know, so is this a dozen players? Is this, you know, 60 players? Is this 100 players? That's an unknown right now. But if they stick to their guns, they're not going to play, because there's absolutely no way they're going to get that revenue. And then asking, you know, Larry Scott and then administrators and coaches to also take significant pay cuts, I'm not so sure that's going to fly either.
Yeah, I'm with you, and we're going to get to those demands, and because like you, I think there's some in there that are very viable and worthwhile and some that are completely unrealistic, and we'll get to that in a moment. I guess I would say, Brett, and I know it's during a pandemic and it's a tough time for everybody, and I hate to put it in this context, but is this where, you know, the Pac-12 conference, and really for the sake of everyone, college football players are saying, hey, you know what, you're in a situation right now where you guys need us a lot more than we need you. I know that doesn't come out the right way, but do you think that's how they're exploring this and looking at this situation?
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, for so long, you know, let's say there's 100 Pac-12 players that don't play, okay? Is the Pac-12 not going to have a season this year if we can play? Of course not. They're going to play. The quality's not going to be as good. They'll get other people to fill in those spots. There'll be walk-ons. They won't make it to the playoff again this year either. But, you know, it's not going to stop college football. The only way that is if, you know, the majority of players, you know, stood up and decided we're not going to continue unless we got the these different demands that they want. But I think what's kind of coming to the forefront now is I think for a long time, you know, student athletes, players, whatever you want to call them, you know, they've actually had a lot. I don't want to say they've had a lot more control, but I think they're coming to realize now that they have a bigger say in things and should have a bigger say in things, and they're kind of following through with that. Where in the past, if they thought those things, they got, I don't want to say they got squelched, but they got pushed to the side and it never became an issue. But now, you know, and it just happens to be during the pandemic. I mean, look, it took a pandemic to get Notre Dame to join a conference. So maybe it's going to take a pandemic for some of these player issues to get past and become reality.
America's College Football Insider, now with the Stadium Network. Brett McMurphy is joining us here on Baskin and Phelps. In terms of the actual demands, you know, some of these, because I think it started out, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this started out just related to COVID-19. And to be honest with you, I remember saying this weeks ago when there was the talk about, hey, players, we want you to sign a waiver saying that, you know, we're not liable. And I thought, you know what, that's BS. I mean, players shouldn't have to sign that. And, you know, basically they're saying anybody who has signed it or if anybody asked them to sign it, that they don't want that to happen. So let's talk about some of the demands that you think are very viable and are something that can absolutely happen.
Well, you know, specifically you mentioned the waiver. HBO Real Sports did a piece, it seems like it was a week or two ago. It could have been 6 months. My time frame, like everyone else, kind of screwed up. But recently they did a report, and they talked, well, I think what you're referencing to, about some players, in specifically in the Pac-12, were having issues with the COVID testing. Players at UCLA wanted a third party to do the COVID testing. They talked to a parent who has a football player, a son at both Michigan and Stanford, and their concerns with the COVID testing. And they also addressed these release forms that you mentioned. And Mark Emmert has said that he opposes these things. But then again, the University of Tennessee had all their student athletes have to sign these. And then when asked about it, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, said, well, I've talked to the chancellor at Tennessee, and they assured me that they are no longer going to be requiring these. Well, you know, that's all great, but let's just take a step back. If these student athletes wouldn't have said anything, or there wouldn't have been pushback, then they still would have been there. But because the student athletes pushed back on it and or the parents, then they took them out and got rid of them. So I think that's a real positive that these players are doing. But, you know, as we mentioned before, you know, I think a lot of these things can happen. But certainly, you know, when it comes to finances, you know, that simply ain't going to happen. Hopefully the name, image, and likeness stuff gets settled fairly soon. But stuff like, you know, not signing the releases and COVID testing, the player at Virginia Tech who's sitting out this year because he doesn't want to take a chance of COVID, he was interviewed, I think, by Pro Football Talk, and he said, you know, look, we have meetings where there are 100 people, 100 players in the same room, and nobody's wearing a mask. And so that's where he had a big issue with it. So there's a lot of things like that, I think, that can improve and will improve because of these people's you know, speaking up.
Brett, you mentioned the chancellor in that one example you gave, and I get the sense, and you obviously are more in tune with this than I am, and many people are, but I get the sense that chancellors and presidents are, I know there's not really one united voice, but it seems like chancellors and presidents are making a lot of the decisions, and that ADs and to some degree coaches, I mean, coaches aren't going to have full say anyway, but does it seem to you that basically administration, chancellors, presidents are having much more of a say and not getting maybe enough input, say, from ADs and others involved in the particular sports?
Well, no, they're making all of the decisions. Make no mistake about that. But, you know, they're certainly getting input. Whether they rely on that input or use that input, that's impossible to say. But, no, make no mistake, that the presidents and chancellors are making that decision. And if we're going to have college football in the fall, it will be because of the decisions made by the presidents and chancellors. You know, tomorrow the NCAA Board of Governors meets. It's basically a committee of university presidents throughout the NCAA, and they will consider whether to cancel the fall sports championships or not. And that does not include FBS or major college football. The NCAA, ironically enough, has nothing to do with that. But what they would do is they could cancel fall sports championships in soccer, volleyball, and cross country. Well, why is that such a big deal? Because a lot of people believe if they go ahead and do that, that the presidents would then go ahead and have to cancel football, because they would sit there and think, how are the optics going to look if we, the presidents, determine it's not safe to have these fall sports championships for these, you know, sports that non-revenue sports without much contact. And also, we're not bringing back our entire student bodies back on campus for in-person classes. But, hey, it's safe enough to play college football. And so a lot of the athletic directors I've talked to are very fearful that if the NCAA Board of Governors cancels these fall sports championships, that we could see after that these individual schools and or conferences then deciding, look, we're not going to play football in the fall. It's not a guarantee. Again, it's just people's opinions. Some people I talked to thought that some conferences would cancel football, and others would still try to go ahead and play. So I don't know, but I know one thing: this is going to be unlike any college football season we've seen in our lifetime.
No doubt about that. Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider, is our guest. I guess the better way to phrase that would have been, are athletic directors happy that they're happy with the decision-making process and that basically they're not really having a whole lot of say in this? They are.
They're talking to their presidents, and they're basically saying, okay, look, here are our options. And it's not simply option A or option B, but we'll boil it down to that. Option A is we play. And if we play, then we've got all these challenges and concerns about COVID and about outbreaks and all these different things. And we will be able to make 50, 60, 70% of the college football revenue that we made last year. That's option A. Or option B is we don't play and we don't have the revenue. We don't have to worry about outbreaks on campus and all those things. That is really a simple way to look at it. And no way is it that simple. But that's what the ADs are talking about with the presidents. And they're giving them all this information. And they're saying, I'm sure they're saying, look, I think we should play. Or they're going to say, look, I don't think we're going to play. But ultimately, the president is the one that's going to make that decision. So they certainly are taking into account what the ADs are telling them. But I just, again, I just think presidents, for the most part, university presidents are not risk takers. And while it would be a huge, huge catastrophic blow to these universities if there is no college athletics, I don't know. I think, and this is not my opinion, what I think should happen. I just think based on what they think, that I don't know if they'll be willing to take that chance to go ahead. When you look around and you see what's happened with the Miami Marlins in baseball and now the St. Louis Cardinals maybe shutting down and just all these different other examples. So it's a tough challenge, but the presidents ultimately will make that decision and, you know, they'll listen to their ADs, but ultimately they're the ones that their names are going to be stuck by the decision.
Brett, is there any chance, any realistic chance that the Power Five could look to separate from the NCAA and try to create that model that, you know, like the Pac-12 players, as far as, you know, them getting compensated
I guess Sports Illustrated reported something the other day that said that there are some Power Five athletic directors that's saying, you know, look, if the NCAA decides to cancel fall sports championships, then the Power Five could go ahead and play their own championships, just the Power Five leagues only. I'm not so sure that could happen. I think it could happen in a year or two. I don't know if it could happen in a matter of weeks, because, you know, keep in mind that, you know, just a few months ago, the Power Five commissioners were, you know, we're going to be in lockstep and we're going to announce what we're going to do all together, you know, as one, and they couldn't even orchestrate that, you know, the same way. The Big Ten came out first and the Pac-12, and, you know, and then now it's every conference for itself, which is fine. I have no issues with that. The Big Ten has to do what's best for the Big Ten, the same the SEC does what's best for the SEC. But I just find it hard to believe that if they can't even orchestrate an announcement on the college football season, how in the world are they going to come to an agreement on how these fall championships are going to be in literally a matter of days or weeks? Because this is something that would have to be put out fairly quickly. I think it is something that happens eventually down the road. But as far as this year, nothing's impossible, you know, in this unique circumstance we're in. I just think it's unlikely. But I do think in a year or two, we'll see the Power Five either split from the NCAA or basically be their own division within the NCAA.
Well, we'll get you out of here with this, Brett, and appreciate the time. Great stuff. As far as impossibilities, you mentioned it earlier. Hey, anything can happen in 2020, Notre Dame's in the ACC. How realistic is it that Notre Dame win? Obviously, you got Clemson there. Is Notre Dame good enough to strongly contend and win that conference?
Well, all they have to do is finish in the top two and then, you know, get another shot at Clemson in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think they've got a decent shot. You know, they do get Clemson in the regular season. I think, look, after Clemson, the ACC, basically they fall off a cliff. So I absolutely think Notre Dame could compete for an ACC championship. And again, top two, there's no division. So top two go to a conference championship game if we're still playing. And, boy, I hope we are. I hope everyone's belly aching about how the college football playoff selection is all screwed up, because this team played a eight-week conference schedule and this conference doesn't play anybody. Because you know what? When you guys are belly aching and complaining about that, just remember how bad it could have been, and that would have been the alternative of no football. But, yeah, I think the Irish are in that next group after Clemson. And can they beat the Tigers? That's a tall task.
Gosh, we want the problems we used to have, no doubt. Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider with the Stadium Network. Great stuff, and hope to do it again soon. Thank you, Brett.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.